this morning as we turn to the book of Romans in chapter 13. Notice with me in the book of Romans in chapter 13. I want to begin reading in verse 8. I'm going to preach a message this morning. It'll either bless your gizzard or make you mad. One or the other. And not intentionally to make you mad, but I want to preach a message this morning titled The Danger of Debt. It was 1999 that I preached a message on the subject of debt, and the same year wrote an article on this. And I want to come to our manual. The Bible is our manual on finances. And I want to talk to you about the danger of debt. Many times we are influenced by our culture instead of being influenced by the Bible. And throughout church history, the majority of church history, the church spoke out on this subject, but in the last 50 to 100 years, they've been quite silent. You'll notice with me that as we began reading in verse 8 in this chapter, and by the way, in this chapter, as we come here, this chapter is a survey of our duty that we have as Christians in reference to government and also to our neighbor. So he says in verse 8, he said, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." Now what we just read, again, is a wonderful chapter dealing with our responsibility, our duty as Christians to government and also our neighbor. And to prove this love, to prove that love is fulfilling of the law, the Apostle Paul takes five commandments out of the 10 in the verses that we've just read, and he sums them up in the royal law, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your love and mercy to us. We thank you for the time that you've given us together. God, we thank you for the good singing. We thank you for the fellowship that you've given us together this morning. Now, Lord, help us as we look into thy word to believe it, dear God, and apply it to our lives and our hearts. And Lord, we see that there is a freedom and liberty that's revealed to us in thy word and not bondage and curses. Lord, we ask this morning that you teach us your word, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Notice with me again as we come here to verse 8 this morning. Notice in verse 8. By the way, I was reading something not long ago. A man made a statement. I guess he'd done a study, an extensive study on this. And he said, the Bible is our manual on finances. He said there's about 500 verses in the Bible related to prayer. And he said there's 2,350 verses related to finances. And he said there's 50 places that speak of debt directly and 20 places that speak indirectly, and it is always in a negative tone dealing with the issue of debt. So that's what we want to talk about, the danger of debt. And I want you to notice with me that as we begin here, he said in verse 8, he said, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Now, I want you to notice with me that in verse 9, that the Apostle Paul, as he deals with this subject, we find that he takes five of the Ten Commandments, and basically these are summed up in the royal law, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." But I want you to notice two of these commandments are dealing with the issue of finances. He says in verse 9, he said, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not, I've got that backwards again. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." And so as we consider these verses, we know that he whose heart is filled with God's love, he will not steal or covet his neighbor's goods.
We find that as we look at these verses, we find a command here. If we were to obey this command, he said, owe no man anything except to love them. If we were to obey this command, there would probably be no bankruptcies or business scandals in our country and throughout our society. Now, there's three areas I want to look at this morning and dealing with the subject of debt. First of all, I want to talk to you about the cause of debt, and I want you to turn away from this passage and go with me to the book of Hebrews. Notice with me in Hebrews, I wanted to use Romans to begin the message here this morning, and there are several places, there's three places that I have put to memory, one in the beginning of the Bible, one in the middle of the Bible, and one toward the end of the Bible dealing with the subject of debt. And we're going to look at all three of those. One of them is Romans 13:8. The other is in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7, and then in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 28. So we're going to take a look at each one of these here this morning. Now, I want to say this to you as we get started and looking at this. And again, this will either be a blessing to you or either you'll get angry about it and not like it. But if you'll come to God's Word and be honest with His Word and look at it, you will have to come to the conclusion that debt is not a good thing. As a matter of fact, in the Scriptures, and when I say in the Scriptures, I'm mainly talking about the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, the book of Nehemiah, and the book of Proverbs, and there's many others. But we find that in the Scripture, the debtor was to be pitied. As a matter of fact, as you go to the Scriptures, debt was regarded as a misfortune. It's never spoken in a positive light. It's always in a negative term. God looks upon debt in a negative term. And we find that it was, for instance, someone that was indebted was someone who had fallen upon hard times and needed to be freed from it. In other words, in the Scripture, we're not talking about our culture. We're so influenced by our culture today is that we have lost sight of what's in God's Word. But in the Scripture, we find that debt is not normal. It's abnormal. And again, God looks upon it in a negative terms. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, there was the penalty for not paying your bills was slavery. And I challenge you to go back and read Deuteronomy and Exodus. You didn't go down to the courthouse and file bankruptcy in the Bible. You became someone's slave if you owed them money and did not pay that. So we find then in the Bible, debt was looked upon as maybe a last resort, and it had consequences and it had fallout. Now let's talk about this morning. Let's talk about the, first of all, the cause of debt. Notice with me as we come here to the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to be reading in chapter 13 in Hebrews, and I'm going to take two verses from this chapter. Now here's the five things we're going to look under this heading. The cause of debt. First of all, the lack of contentment. Well, let me read the verses, and because we'll go through each of these as we. Now, what do I mean by lack of contentment? Well, the opposite of that is covetousness. Covetousness is one of the causes of indebtedness in our country. There's so many advertisements today, and I'm going to give you some statistics on that in just a moment. But we find that indebtedness betrays a covetous heart. And as we come to the Scriptures, we find that debt denotes discontentment with what God has given to us. Now look at this. First of all, he said here in this passage, he said in verse 5, now look at this, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then he said in verse 6, and so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. How many people do you know today is truly contented with what God has given to them? Turn back with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and notice here in this passage. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 6. The Bible tells us one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not covet in Exodus chapter 20. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, the Bible says, beware of covetousness. So we have much warning in the Bible. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, and I forget the verse, I believe it's verse 13. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state to be content. So I know that contentment is something that has to be learned. The Apostle Paul learned to be content with the provisions that God has given him. Now notice with me as we come to 1 Timothy. We're talking about, under the heading of the cause of debt, we're talking about, first of all, a lack of contentment. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, notice with me in verse 6. He says here, but godliness with contentment, notice, is great gain. He said, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich, that is, they that desire to be rich. He said, fall into temptations and a snare, and a many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Without any doubt, we know that the desire to have more and more has kept many a saint of God from the prayer meetings and the midweek service. We know that to be a fact. We know that this desire has caused many to work on the Sabbath and things of that nature. And he says here, he didn't say those who are rich. He said those who desire are those who will be rich. Then he said in verse 10, he said, for the love of money, notice, is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There's been many that have left the faith or moved away from their closeness of God because of their desire to have more and more and more. Turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew and in chapter 6. In the book of Matthew and in chapter 6. Where we just read in Timothy, he also charges the rich, those who are rich, and he tells them how to handle their money and what they're to do with that. Now notice with me as we come to Matthew in chapter 6. Basically, when I go and borrow, I'm saying to God that I don't have enough. I'm not satisfied with what He has given to me. And practically in our society today, everyone is in debt. Notice with me as we come to Matthew in chapter 6. Now before I read here, let me read some statistics. I got so many, I'm only going to read a few of them. But let me just take a few for you and give them to you this morning. Credit card debt. Let's talk about that first of all. Credit card debt. Only a generation ago, credit cards was unheard of. Car loans were a rarity. And mortgages were for GIs who were getting their starter homes. Now listen to this. These are some quotes that I've taken from other sources. Credit card debt is approaching $10,000 per cardholder. That's the average of for 2006. This is something I just read a few weeks ago. In the year 2000, Americans charged $400 billion on credit cards, and credit companies made $50 billion just on financial charges. The average interest rate is being between 15 and 21%. If you carry a credit card, you are apt to spend 20% more in a store than if you use cash. Now, I know that to be true. It's harder to turn loose of that green stuff. It's easy to throw a card up there, you know, and go ahead and get what you want because you don't really see the loss at that time. A 2000 census, nearly every household had a house loan and a car loan, and most families have 7 active credit cards with an outstanding average balance of about $2,000 per card. Today, now listen to this, today 72% do not pay off their credit card balance at the end of the month, and the debt builds larger and larger as the years go by. And then let me give you a few other statistics. Bankruptcy, we're going to talk about that in a few moments. Bankruptcy, 63% of all major cities are bankrupt. Now, this is a statistic that I got a hold of 6 or 7 years ago. I don't know what it is today. Indebtedness is at an all-time high among American people. In 1978, there were 50,000 personal bankruptcies in the U.S. In 1988, there were 500,000, according to an article in USA Today. In 1997, there was 1.4 million occurred, 50% increase from the early 1990s. In the year 2001, bankruptcy in the United States hit a new high. One out of every 144 adults filed for bankruptcy. By October 2005, more than 103,000 bankruptcy petitions were filed. That's more than 20,000 per day, bringing the 2005 total up to 14.17 million bankruptcy filing. This was an increase of nearly 20% from 2004. Without any doubt, not only is our government, I got a pile of statistics here on our government. I don't even think I'm going to read them here this morning. I've got several things about the government. But the thing about it is our government is spending more and more. We're trillions of dollars in debt and continue to spend more. And the average American is following right along and doing the same thing that the government is doing instead of looking in the Bible and see what God has said. Do you realize that 50% of marriages today end up in divorce, and 80% of those that end up in divorce, the issue is over finances? 80% and the issue is over finances. Larry Brigette, he's not alive now, but he made this statement. And he said, after 2 years of marriage, a young couple will have accumulated over $100,000 worth of debt. And that is very true. I know that when my wife and I, we built a new home many years ago. In the neighborhood that we had built a new home, we moved all of our old furniture in, and we parked our old used vehicle in the driveway. But many in the neighborhood had to have a new home and had to have new furniture and a new car, and many of them ended up in divorce or losing what they had. In 1929, I want you to listen to this, just in less than 100 years. In 1929, 95% of homes were bought for cash. And only 5% were mortgaged. This is 1929. Today, the figures are reversed. 95% of the homes that are bought today are on credit, and less than 5% are paid for by cash. And so we find that as a nation, that we have moved away from biblical principles that God has given to us in His Word. The Bible is our manual, and we have moved away from that and followed the trend of our culture, and Christians are just as bad on this issue as the lost people. There's as many divorce that is going on among Christians as there are the lost world, and there's as many Christians today that are in debt as there are those out in the lost world. What about advertisement? What does advertisement do? It creates a desire for us to buy and lust for more. Advertisement creates a covetous heart inside of the individual. Now listen to this. The average person sees 1 million commercials by the time they're 20 years of age. 2/3 of your newspaper is filled with advertisement. 40% of the mail you get in your box is advertisement. And the thing about it is, to capture an animal, you set bait beyond its reach, amen? And as it reaches for that bait, it falls. And this is exactly what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. They was reaching for something they shouldn't have had, and they fell. The Christmas season, I copied this out of the paper in 1995. The Christmas season 1995 is, it says, after all, is when the $282 billion retail industry earns between a third and half of its annual profit. It's also a time when consumers rack up around 40% of their yearly debts. And again, I could go on reading to you this morning statistics. We don't have the time, but this thing is a serious problem in our country. Now, the first cause of debt is a lack of contentment with what God has given to us. The second cause of debt is a lack of faith. Notice with me as we come to the book of Matthew in chapter 6. Now, I'm not telling you that if you're in debt or you plan to go in debt. I'm not telling you that you're a wicked and evil people, and I'm not even trying to tell you that you're out of the will, totally out of the will of God. I'm trying to say to you that this is something that God has given to us in His Word, and God wants His people to be free. He wants them to have liberty. He does not want them to be in bondage to any institution or any man. Now notice with me as we come to Matthew chapter 6. Now this entire chapter pretty much is dealing with the issue of finances. As a matter of fact, in verse 6 he begins talking about what we now call the Lord's Prayer. And then I want you to notice that he tells us verse 11, he said, "Give us this day our daily bread," telling us how to pray for the provisions that we need in life. In verse 24, he says that no man can serve two masters. Either will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and riches, what he's saying. In verses 25 down through verse 32, he's saying that God clothes the flowers and the lilies, the flowers, whatever, and that God feeds the fowl. And he will do the same thing for you and I. And then he says, notice with me in verse 33, he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In other words, the things is material things. He's saying you're to pray, you're to trust the Lord, and he said you're to seek the kingdom of God and seek God first. And he said, "I will add unto you all of the material things that you need." God does own the cattle on the thousand hills, does he not? So secondly, I'm saying one of the causes of debt is a lack of faith. Now I want you to think about this. Turn to verse 19 of this same chapter. A lack of faith. It is a biblical principle that God will supply all our needs. How many believe that this morning? We do not have to go in debt. We do not have to go to the world and their institutions and beg them for anything. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. The Bible said in Proverbs 3 verses 5, 6, and 7 that we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse, not Proverbs, but Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, that God will supply all of our needs according to His riches and His grace. God will supply all of our needs. We do not have to go to the world. God wants you and I to be free. I've been in debt before, and I've been out of debt. I've been out of debt several times in my life, been out of debt for the last 10, 11 years. And I'll tell you what, there's not a greater feeling in going to bed at night and waking up in the morning knowing that you, as Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, owe no man. You owe no man anything. There's nothing greater. There's not a greater feeling than that. It's almost, when you get out of debt, it's almost like being saved again. It's a wonderful feeling knowing that you do not owe any man except the debt of love. Notice with me as we read in verse 19. Notice in verse 19. He said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Now look at this, verse 21. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If you and I was writing that, we would reverse two words in that sentence. But God, He didn't reverse it. He said, here's the way it is. He said, "Where your treasure is," He said, "that is where your heart is going to be." And how true that that is. Well, we got to move on. Turn with me to Proverbs, or Psalms rather, 27. The third thing that causes debt. Notice with me in Psalms, I'm going to be reading in chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27. The third thing is a lack of patience. We live in a fast food society. I want it now. My grandmother spent 30 years, one of my grandmothers, 30 years saving for a house before she was ever able to build it. 30 years that she spent saving. No one is willing to wait for anything anymore. Notice with me in Psalms chapter 27. In Psalms chapter 27, and I'm going to be reading I'm going to be reading one verse from this. Now, notice with me as we come here. He says in chapter 27, I'm going to be reading in verse 14. Look at this. One verse, a lack of patience. He said in verse 14, wait on the Lord. By the way, in Isaiah 40 and many other places in Psalms, he says the same thing. He said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. One of the reasons that people go into debt is they're not willing to be patient and wait on the Lord. I've been guilty of that in my past. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs in chapter 27. In Proverbs in chapter 27. And notice here, the fourth thing is a lack of vision. Notice in Proverbs chapter 27, a lack of vision. You say, what do you mean? Presumptuous of the future. Do you realize that there's many of us that we go and we have went and borrowed money and we don't even know that the economy is going to be in good shape next week or next year? We went and borrowed money and we don't even know for sure that we're going to have a job next year. We went and borrowed money and we're not even sure that we're going to be healthy next year. We're not sure that there's not going to be emergencies that's going to come up in our life and exhaust our resources, and still yet we go and borrow money. Notice with me in Proverbs chapter 27. In other words, we just assume that everything's going to be the way it is right now. Today, we assume we're going to be healthy, the economy's going to be good, the stock market's going to be okay. We assume that everything's going to be great, and when we make those loans. And that's contrary to Scripture. Notice in chapter 27, verse 1, if you're taking notes, James 4, 13 through 15, He said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't even know what's going to happen before you get home today for lunch, much less what is going to take place next year and the following year. So many times we have a lack of vision and we presume that the future is going to be a certain way. And I'll guarantee you that in most of our lives, the future is not going to be the way that we planned it out. Turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs in chapter 22. The fifth thing under the issue of the cause of debt is a lack of leader, a lack of stewardship. And you can write down 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2 for that passage. One fellow put it this way. He said, if you don't have what you need, you either don't need it or have misused what God has already given you. Now, I want you to think about that. If we don't have what we need, we either don't need it, or either we have misused what God has given to us. We find that now when we talk about stewardships, being a good steward, the average American lives from one paycheck to the next. In other words, if the average person missed one paycheck, they would be totally wiped out and destroyed. Now I want you to think about how that debt devours resources through high interest rates. Have you ever sat down and added up the interest that you have thrown out the window paying on that new car that you bought? Have you ever sat down and added up the interest? I challenge you to do this. It will shock you. I challenge you to add up the interest that you will throw out the window that you have paid on your house for the last 15, 20, 25, or 30 years. Or I challenge you to add up the interest that you've had on credit cards. I know of individuals that's got credit cards maxed out over $30,000 and $40,000 and see no light whatsoever. There's a man used to be in this church that had credit. He was over $100,000 in debt and had credit card debt that accumulated to nearly $30,000 or $35,000. He said, what should I do? Notice with me as we come to Proverbs chapter 22. Now let's talk about, we've talked about the cause of debt. A lack of contentment. A lack of faith. A lack of vision, a lack of stewardship. What about the consequences of debt? Have you ever considered the consequences of debt? If you've ever owed anything to anybody, unless you're different than I am, You went to bed and got up thinking about what you owed. How many can say amen to that? When I have ever owed, I don't care whether it's a house payment, a car payment, a credit card payment, and I've had some of those. Whenever I've owed someone, when I went to bed and when I got up, I thought about the debt that I had. In other words, it was a burden to me the whole time that I was indebted. And if you're honest, you'll have to say the same thing. What about the consequences of debt? I'm going to read a passage here that I put to memory several years ago. And it still works today as it did then. And I believe it will work throughout the rest of my life. And it's a tremendous passage. And by the way, well, let's just go ahead and read this. Notice with me in Proverbs chapter 22. And I want you to notice here in verse 7. Now look at this carefully. In verse 7. Now watch what he says. He said, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." How many would believe that this morning? Now here's the thing. Those who borrow, they will eventually sorrow. Benjamin Franklin said, getting into debt was getting into a tanglesome net. Now under the title, The Consequences of Debt, I want to talk about two things. One, I want to talk about slavery. And the other one, I want to talk about a curse. And I'm going to give you the verses on this. Here's one of them. But here's the thing. When we borrow and we become indebted to someone else, we become a slave to them in some extent. Now listen, you say, "Oh no, not me." Listen, they determine the interest rates. They determine how much you're going to pay every month. They determine what day you're going to pay that. They tell you where you're going to pay that. In other words, they have control to some extent over your life. They become your lord and your master. And I don't care if you've got an automobile and you paid on it 5 years and you only got one payment. I challenge you to try to miss that one payment and see what will happen. They'll come and take it away from you. So we find then, without any doubt, the lender calls the shots. He has power over the person that is borrowing. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we sell ourselves into servitude. We sell ourselves into slavery when we borrow money from someone else. Notice with me, let's read this again before we turn away from it. And I challenge you to go to the book of Proverbs right here in go to chapter 6 and other places and look at the issue of co-signing and surety and things of that nature. I challenge you to go to the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 22 and Leviticus 25. And the man that could not pay his debt, he was sold into slavery. He actually, in some cases, became a slave to the individual that he owed the money to. And we find that in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, we find that there was a widow. Her husband had died. He was one of the prophets. And they had owed some money. And the creditor was coming to take their children, their two sons, away from them until Elijah took care of the problem. And then in Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, we find the people were hard-pressed. They were in bondage. They had sold their lands. They had mortgaged their property. And Nehemiah stepped in and began dealing with the issue. In other words, we become entangled and we become slaves when we borrow money. Look at this. He said, let's read it again before we turn away. First of all, we're talking about slavery. What is slavery? It's bondage, servitude. He says here in verse 7, he said, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is a servant," notice, "to the lender." How many believe that this morning? You need to underline that. You need to highlight that. You need to make note of that. And you need to plan for the rest of your days to get out of servitude from anyone that you're in bondage to. Now, this, the second thing, I want you to go with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 15. In Deuteronomy, in chapter 15, the church is silent on this subject today. Why is the church silent today? Because 95%+ of the people are in debt. And they know that if they speak on it, they'll offend individuals. Notice with me as we come to Deuteronomy. First of all, chapter 15. Now we've talked about the consequences of debt. Number one is slavery. Number two is a curse. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 15. I'm going to be reading one verse out of this chapter. I'll be reading in verse 6. He says in verse 6, talking to the nation of Israel, His people in the Old Testament, He said, "For the Lord thy God blesses thee, and He promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee." Whoever you borrow from, they reign over you to a certain extent. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 28. We were preaching out of this chapter not too many weeks ago. Notice with me in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Began reading in verse 1. This is a chapter of blessings and curses upon a nation. Notice with me as we come here. He says in verse 1, "It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee." In other words, He lists the blessings. But I want you to notice with me that as you come down, please, in the same chapter, come down with me to verse 12. He said, "The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, and the heavens to give the rain unto thy land in His season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." Come down with me to verse 15. "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And He lists them throughout the rest of the chapter. 50-something verses deal with curses. Notice with me in verse 43. In verse 43. In verse 43. He said, "The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low." Talking about the curses now of disobedience. "He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep His commandments and His statutes, which He commanded thee." Turn with me, please, back to the book of Psalms. The second generation that came out of the nation, that came out of Egypt, God raised up a second generation to go into the promised land. Why did He have to raise up a second generation? He destroyed the first generation. As long as Israel was obedient to God, they were blessed. And when they became disobedient to God, they ended up with curses, and they were indebted to other people. Now notice with me in Psalms chapter 37. I would like to hear an amen every now and then. Thank you, Will. I'd like to hear one. I mean, it's so quiet in here this morning. This is truth. This is something that the church has been silent on for years. We need to talk about these things. We need to consider these things. Now, let's come here to the book of Psalms chapter 37. This chapter has a lot to say about being patient and waiting on the Lord. But what about the issue of bankruptcy? I challenge you to take Ecclesiastes 5, verse 4 and 5, and look at the vow that God talks about that individuals make. I challenge you to look at that. Bankruptcy. Bankrupt individuals years ago were regarded as thieves. Are you following me? They were regarded as thieves in society and also in the Word of God. In the Scripture, bankruptcy is not an option. There's so many today that file bankruptcy. And I want to give you a verse and show you very clearly what God is saying about this. Matter of fact, in Ephesians 4:25, we find that failure to pay somebody is stealing and lying. It entails both of them. The Zacchaeus that got saved, he worked for the IRS. You can read about him in Luke chapter 19. He was a chief tax collector. And when he got right with the Lord, the first thing that he wanted to do is to repay everybody that he had done wrong. And you know what? When somebody gets right with the Lord, they want to make things right with those that they have done wrong. Notice with me as we come here to this passage. I'm gonna take one verse from Psalms 37, and I want you to see that God requires payment of every obligation that you have made. Proverbs 22:1 talks about a good name is worth far more than the treasures and the things of this earth. But look at this very carefully. He says in Psalm 37, verse 21, he said, "The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth." He said, "The wicked borroweth," and he said, "and payeth not again." If you owe somebody money, if you have filed bankruptcy, you owe somebody money that you have not paid, that you've avoided them. And by the way, one of the best ways to make enemies is loan somebody some money. You know. And a distant relative used to be a relative that you loaned money to years ago. Used to be a close relative at one time. But let me say this to you. If you owe somebody money and you've avoided them, you have no right to eat out. You have no right to take a vacation. You have no right to buy DVDs and CDs. You have no right to have cable television or anything else in your house. You have no rights if you owe somebody money that you've cheated them out of. It's absolutely thievery according to the Word of God. And in society, they have known that for years, but we for somehow have lost sight of it in recent years. Now, I want you to stay here with me. Let's go back to Proverbs. I hate to keep jumping around. I'm just picking out a few verses. There's hundreds of verses that deal with this, but I'm picking out a few that I believe that you could put to memory. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 27, and let's consider this. In Proverbs chapter 27, now notice here as we come to this passage. You see, we have become a materialistic society. Few today think of debt as being associated with sin or anything of that nature. And we're so materialistic today. We're so influenced by our culture that we have lost sight of what God has said in His Word. God wants us to be free. He does not want us to be in bondage, especially to the institutions of this world. Notice with me as we come to Proverbs chapter 27. I'm going to take one verse from this chapter. We've done read verse 1. I'm going to come down to verse 12. Now, my last point this morning. You see, this is not a pointless sermon. My last point this morning is this. What is the cure for debt? We've talked about the cause. We've talked about the consequences, but what is the cure for debt? Well, we need to go on a debt diet, do we not? The Bible said in Proverbs 3, again, "Trust in the Lord, what with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him." And He said, "And He shall direct our path." How is it that we as Christians can find the cure for the issue of debt, especially when the majority are indebted today? Again, as I said before, debt is not normal. It is abnormal according to the Scriptures. God looked upon debt in a negative terms. It was looked upon as a misfortune. But still yet, the majority of Americans are in debt today. I wrote an article in 1999 after I preached the message that year on debt. It's in the library if you want to get it. Some of the Scriptures we've used this morning is there. But there were five things that I suggested about how to get out of debt. One, is, of course, is quit borrowing. Make a commitment today that you will never, ever, ever borrow another dime. Period. You will trust God. You will never borrow another dime. I don't care where it's for college or an automobile or a home or appliances or clothes or vacation or entertainment, it doesn't matter. You make a commitment, I will not ever borrow another dime. That's one thing. Number two, I suggested that you have plastic surgery. I'm not saying that credit cards is wrong totally and completely. But if you ever get to the place that you can't pay the balance at the end of each month, then you're indebted. And you need to get rid of it. As one fellow suggested, he said, either cut it up or preheat your oven to 400 degrees, grease a cornbread pan, and bake it for 10 minutes or until it is done. You'll never have to worry about using that again. So, number two is plastic surgery. Number three is learn to live with less. Here's our problem today. The Bible says godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. Great gain. He said that our conversation is not to be with covetousness. We're to be contented with the things that God has given to us. So we're to learn to live with less. We're to curb our impulse to buy. If you can't afford it, you don't buy it. And if you can't afford some things, you still don't need those either. Be content with what God has given you. My dad taught me a lot about contentment. And he never had a whole lot. He's had opportunities in lifetime to have certain things, but he never desired a whole lot of things. And I watched him over the years, even up until he died nearly 2 years ago. And he was very contented. He was a happy person. He was contented. And you could put everything he had together and probably sell it and couldn't get very much out of it. But he was very contented with what God has given him, especially after that he became a Christian. So we need to learn to live with less. Number four, we need to tithe. You know that many people, let me give you a statistic. This is old and new. Something that just came out of the paper recently from over Mississippi. This was given to me yesterday. And this is true. It says 80% of Americans profess to be Christians and only 3% of adults tithe. Did you know that? 80% of Americans profess to be Christians and only 3% tithe. You know, that's really sad when you get to thinking about it. The Bible talks about the deceitfulness of riches in Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And people are riding to church many times in this country in stolen cars and stolen clothes because they have robbed God, as the Bible says in Malachi 3 and Malachi chapter 4. So we are to tithe. And then number five, we are to pray and to seek the Lord, as I just mentioned in Proverbs chapter 3. Let God be your partner. And if it took you a while to get in debt, it's probably going to take you a while to get out of debt. But it ought to be a goal of every American, every Christian, to get out of debt and not follow in the footsteps of what our country is doing. Notice as we come here, he said in Proverbs chapter 27, notice with me in verse 12. He said, now look at this, he said, a prudent man foreseeth evil. Would you not agree that debt can bring bondage and bring destruction upon us? He said, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple, notice, pass on and are punished. It's sad to think that you could have a house that you paid on 30 years and you paid on it 29 years and 6 months and miss one or two payments, and I've seen this happen, by the way, and they can come and take everything that you put in that house. They can take it all away from you just because of missing some payments. It's sad to think that we can lose so quickly and so easily. So when we come to the Scriptures, we find then that God is very serious about this subject of bondage and slavery and debt. I want to take one or two other verses. Turn to Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, then we're going to go to John chapter 8, and we'll close there. Notice what I mean, Luke chapter 12. I think it ought to be the goal of every Christian. Say, I'm committed. Never borrowing again. I'm going to get out of debt. I'm going to live free. I'm not going to be in bondage. Matter of fact, the word mortgage, M-O-R-T, has to do with death. And the G-A-G-E has to do with pledge, literally a death pledge is what the word means. Notice with me as we come to Luke chapter 12. I know some of you can't say amen because you think about borrowing next week. Notice with me, Luke 12. I'm going to read this. We're going to go to John. We're going to close now. Now think about this. I don't get involved. I preach the Word of God and try to preach the truth, but I don't get involved in running people's lives. I've had people come to me and with finances and things. I say, I don't know that I can help you there. I'll just give you some scriptures and pray for you. I don't want to get involved in making decisions for somebody else. But there are some suggestions. I've had people say to me, they say, well, good night, you can't have a home today unless you go in debt. I know a lot of people that has homes that never went in debt for them, that never borrowed a dime. You know, there is such things as used homes. There is such things as used mobile homes. There is such things as small homes. Me and my wife love to go to a state park this side of Birmingham called Tanny Hill. They got cabins in there. We've tent camped in there. We've had our camper in there. But we've also rented a cabin. It's like about the same price of a motel room. They got old cabins that they've moved there from other places in Alabama and put them in this state park. And some of them were built in the early or mid-1800s. And we've stayed in those, and it might be one square room, maybe a 24 by 24 or something like that. And they'll have a plaque on the cabin telling you what family lived there, who built the house. And there was one of them that we stayed in. They raised 10 kids in that one big room. And that was all they had. 10 children. I've had people say, oh, they all got to have their own bedroom, their own TV, their own stereo system, and, you know, and all that. They don't even have to have their own bed, amen? I mean, here's what I'm trying to say is that there are ways. There, my wife and I, when we got out of the Navy, we didn't want to go in debt at that time. We moved into a place. All it was one big room, had no plumbing in it. I finally put water in it. We never did have a bathroom in it. This is back in the 70s. When I was raised, we never had a bathroom in a house until I was probably 13 or 14 years of age. And a lot of people say, I got to have this, I got to have that, I got to have this over here. All it does, if you have to borrow the money, it brings you into bondage.
Right. Amen.
I love our friends up in North Alabama. The Campbells, Brother Richard, you've been there. They've got a little, it's a utility shed, about a 10 by 12. And it's a guest house now. I've stayed in it many times. Every time we go through there, I say, all it is a shed, a metal shed with paneled inside and a bed and whatever. But that was their house. That shed, they lived in it for at least four, five, 6 years until they were able to build a house. They built a 24 by 24. And then they added a room on, then they added another room, no debt whatsoever. It can be done. I've had people say, well, you don't understand. You got to have a new automobile today. Well, I'm not against somebody having a new automobile, but if you have to go in debt for it, then again, you're putting yourself into slavery. And there is such a thing as buying a used automobile. I had a friend that was a lieutenant in the Navy that taught me a lot of Bible, and he, at any given time, this man had $100,000 in his bank account. At any given time, but he would never pay over $1,000 or $1,500 for a car. And he's still doing that to this day. Somebody said, I've drove a car all my life, never had a wreck. I said, I've drove a wreck all my life, never had a car. I'm just kidding about that. But there is such a thing as driving a used vehicle, and I have never paid over probably $3,000 for any vehicle in 53 years, except for maybe one. That was one new vehicle that a church member had bought for me when I pastored another church. So I'm saying, you know, people say, oh, you just can't do that in the time which we live. I've got a vehicle right now. One's an 89 model. Get an antique tag on it in a few years. And the other one's a 93 with 200,000 miles on it. People say, oh, you can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. I would whole lot rather drive that and pray along the way than to have a $400 or $500 payment on the thing.
Right.
And if it breaks down, all I got to do is fix it. If a new one breaks down, you got to fix it and still make the monthly payment.
Right.
I'm saying to you, it's bondage. There is a way to do this thing, our radio program. You know that I've been doing radio for 23 years. I used to have a television program and three radio stations at one time. And do you know that we have always, with these programs, and Brother Richard can testify to this, we pay a month in advance. They love it, by the way. I pay for the month of March. It was paid the first week before I ever preached the first sermon on the radio. We paid the bill for the whole month before we ever preached the first sermon. You know why? If I ever get in trouble, I'll never owe them things. If I have to go off in the middle of a month or something goes wrong or goes haywire, I never will owe them a dime. In Birmingham, I was on the largest radio station in Alabama, and it reached a big part of Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia and parts of Tennessee. And I was on there, and it was very expensive. It was like $95 for only 15 minutes. But I was on there for at least a couple of years. One day, the manager of the radio station, which I'd never met him, had called me, and I said, is there something wrong with our program, or something wrong? And he said, no. He said, I just want to thank you. And I said, for what? He said, we have 35 preachers on this radio station throughout a week. He said, you're the only one that pays us in advance. You're the only one. And he said, you're the only one that does, that when you get on the radio, that you do not have to talk about money. You're the only one that preaches and not dealing with money every time you get on the radio. We've been doing that for 20-something years, and God is gracious and supplied. There is a way to live without debt. And you can do it. You've got to commit yourself to it and make that a goal and head in that direction. Abraham lived without debt. Noah built an ark without debt. Moses built the tabernacle without debt. David gathered all the materials for Solomon to build the temple without debt. Ezra went back and rebuilt the temple as they came back from Babylon without debt. And Nehemiah went back and built the walls, and they done it without debt. I'm saying that a man or woman can live debt-free. They do not have to be in bondage to this world. Luke chapter 12, have I read this verse yet? Okay, verse 15. In verse 15, he said this, he said unto them, now look at this, I mentioned this verse a while back in the sermon. He said, take heed and beware, there's a warning, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Now I want to tell you that the man that dies with the most toys is not the winner. I know the world has told you that that's true, but that is not. And usually what we're talking about is our possessions and what we have. And God says, beware of covetousness, because a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. I want to close in John chapter 8. One fellow, he said, I owe, off to work I go. Another fellow said, money talks. It says, bye-bye. Credit is what keeps you from knowing how far past broke you really are. Amen? And it does. Someone said, debt is tomorrow's paycheck for today's luxuries. I was thinking about my grandmother. An old, old, beat-up house. No water inside. No bathrooms inside. And she saved for 30 years. And before she built her new house, she did get water in this old house, but it was a pump on the back porch. Pump. But she saved for 30 years. She just died last February, a year ago. And she saved all those years to have that house. Do we have that kind of patience among people today? She knew what it was like to have rough times. She knew what it was like to have to walk to work, to walk to church. Her husband had left her with 4 kids. She knew what hard times was like. And she knew the danger of borrowing money. I want to close in John chapter 8. And I tell you what, we need to teach our children. We need to teach our children this thing about debt. Some children, after they're grown, they're still going to mom and daddy, aunts and uncles, friends want money. I could give you a list of people this morning that I've known over the years that have borrowed and still to this day borrowing from somebody, you know. And we need to teach our children that if you can't afford it, you don't have it. You wait until you can get it. That you don't borrow. You don't borrow from anybody. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a banker, it's a relative, it's a friend, it's a church member. Somebody came to me months ago and said, I'm going to borrow $50. I pulled out $50. I said, I won't loan it to you, but I'll give it to you. I'm glad I did, because I never did get it back. And I won't loan, because I'm going to keep a guard around my heart. And I'm not going to become bitter towards somebody else. I'm not going to allow that to happen. And you know yourself, You can see somebody every day of the week and you can loan them some money and you won't see them for the next 6 months. They'll purposely drive a different route to get around your house. That's human nature. We know that to be true. Well, let's close here in this passage. I trust and hope that you're all saved this morning. And you know the Lord, and this passage will go both ways with what I'm dealing with. And it will also cover the area of salvation as well. And I want to begin reading in verse 31 in the area that we need to be set free and liberated. And he says here in verse 31, now look at this, John chapter 8, verse 31. He says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How saith thou, you shall be made free? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." By the way, the sinner and the debtor are related. We're indebted to God Almighty. And he says in verse 36, he said verse 35, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Now I got one other verse I'm going to read. And that's going to be in verse 24. But think about what the Jews were doing here this day. Jesus said you need to be free. And they said, we've never been in bondage to any man. They were in bondage to their sins. They were in bondage to the Roman government. They were in bondage to Judaism. They were in bondage in three different ways at the time that Jesus came to them to liberate them. And they never even seen their own bondage. The average Christian today in America walks around through life. He's having to put in extra hours. He's worried. He's stressed out. Him and his wife argues more than they should over these issues. He's having to work even on the Sabbath and everything else. We see this all over our land. And he doesn't even know that he's in bondage. Doesn't even know it. Thinks he's free. But the Bible says that the borrower is what? A servant. A servant to the lender. Notice in verse 24, and we'll close as Brother Bill comes. In verse 24, he said, "And I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, and if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." And in verse, well, that'll be sufficient, but there's a couple other verses. Sin makes us debtors to God and brings enslavement. And there's only one release, and that is the blood that Jesus Christ shed at Calvary. We're indebted and need to be saved. But I want to leave with you that you can live debt-free. You can have financial freedom. But there must be a commitment that has to be made. Debt is not the unpardonable sin. But it is something that we need to try to free ourselves from. Would you come this morning?